United Methodist Church. We are so glad that you have joined us here in person and online for worship this morning. As you're able, please stand for our opening hymns.
Inviting all young people up to the stage and virtually online to join us as well. All right. Good morning. Oh, Halo Rose, you look fantastic. All right. So good morning. How's everybody today? So I have a question for you, and I'm going to want to answer from everybody. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite color?
Rainbow.
Rainbow.
Rainbow colors.
My favorite color is blue.
Turquoise.
Pink.
What's your favorite color?
Pink.
Yellow.
Orange.
Gold.
Gold. Wow, we have a lot of different colors. Nobody really had the same. There was a couple of pinks and some rainbows. Now, has anybody ever heard For example, like, my favorite color is blue. What's something maybe you've heard about the color blue?
That it's a boy color?
Do colors belong to a boy or a girl or any gender identification? No, they're just colors. Can your favorite color be orange?
Green.
It can be green, right? It can be whatever it wants. And gold? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Annalie came home the other day and was talking about that. Because you have all different favorite colors, don't you? Yeah. So who we're going to be talking about today as a holy troublemaker is Reverend Will Gaffney. She is a priest and a scholar in Hebrew scripture, and she grew up in the Black church. And so she has all different perspectives, and what she found when she went back in and did some of the original translations of the Bible from Hebrew scripture is that the word for spirit is actually referred to as a feminine pronoun, meaning she. Right, but a lot of times we think of God as what in the church? How have we talked about God?
As a he.
Yeah, so there's lots of different perspectives that we can have. We can say she, he, a gender non-specific like spirit, creator, God, right? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, how we can think about the world in non-gender specific terms. So that we can have a preference for our colors or what we want to wear or how we want to wear our hair, right? And how we talk about God in the church. So that's what we're going to think about today. And I think that's a great challenge, too, for all of us, young people up here and young at heart. All right? So let's say a prayer and then we'll go off into our children's time. Dearest Lord, thank you so much for the wonderful world of colors that you have given us, for the wonderful people and community that we have around us, that we are able to speak about you and of you in a term that is clear and inclusive both to us and to the people around us that celebrate you, your beauty, and your joy. And all God's children said, amen. So a couple of things in just one moment. Adults, we're going to have you give peace. And we're all going to start off, youth, young people, everybody in the chapel. And then we're going to split off in our groups. And also today we get back to children's choir because we'll have some fabulous performances for all of you in February. All right. So let's stand up. Adults, pass the peace and we will go to our church.
So wonderful to see you this morning. I invite you to take your seat as we prepare to enter into a really wonderful part of our service, this sacred moment for prayer with the God who is always listening. Gracious and loving God, parent to us all, holy creator who fills us with life, we thank you for this journey that we are on. We confess we do not always know the way, and we look to you to guide us. Be with us each and every day as we seek to know more about who we are as people, as your children, as siblings to one another in this world. Help us to be beacons of your light, be your hands and feet in the world, seeking transformation, love, and peace for all people. This morning, we lift up our neighbors in Monterey Park, and we pray for them in this moment of difficulty and violence. We pray for the survivors of gun violence across our nation. We beg for inspiration and spirit to help us understand how we can create change in a clearly broken system. We pray for true gun reformation and new laws. And we pray for the end of violence between people. We thank you for this new year and the opportunities that unfold before us. Help us to rise to the challenge to meet them. We know that you have cast a net wide over us, that we are yours, that you have called us into your fold, that you have pulled us from the sea for your work. Help us to be prepared to do that work in a world that needs it. This morning, we lift up all of our brothers and sisters and siblings who are unsheltered in this time of cold and rain. We pray for real substantial change in their lives and also that we might be whatever support and comfort that we can be. Be with our church as we continue to walk the walk that you have called us to do, to be a light in the heart of Hollywood, a place where all people feel safe and where love is known. This morning, we lift up those in our community who need extra prayers, who are experiencing illness or loneliness, who need guidance, who need you. We lift up Nancy to you and Mark Smith, Buster and Richard. Please bring healing and strength into their lives and help us to be good fellow Christians with them, walking with them on their journey. We have many prayers that reside in our hearts, and now we offer them to you silently. Through you, all things are possible, all life is possible. You are the center of love, hope, and possibility. Be with us as we continue to worship in this service, to lift your name, to praise you, and as we share the prayer that your Son taught us, we offer it back to you in love. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
All right. Happy Lunar New Year, everyone. Hopefully you're staying warm out there. You know, it's cold if I pull out the flannel from Seattle, so. Real quickly, I just want to talk about, if you've noticed outside in the parking lot, there's some construction happening. We're getting some new fencing put in, so we received a security grant. So that's what's happening out there. Hopefully it'll be fixed very soon. Here in the next month, we'll have it all done. Just in case you were wondering, we would want to let you know that. Okay, so we're going to check in. Everyone, get out those phones. Let's see. Today's question, I really like the color question. I think so in the comments below, just put in, what's your favorite color? I really liked rainbow. That was, didn't know that was a color, but I loved it. If you are new, just go ahead and, if you could, drop your email in there. If you're a regular attender, just your name's good, and just hit send or submit, whatever. We just want to know you were here today with us. So, and also you can add prayer requests if you'd like to add them there as well. All right, tomorrow night we are going to the movies. If you'd like to join us, please do so. We're going to be at the AMC Theater at City Walk. We're going to see The Fablemans at 6:20. So, I get a seat around F5, that's me. But we're also meeting at Harmony to carpool up. Since the parking is $5, we can carpool together. So join us at 6 p.m. if you'd like to carpool, or just meet us up there. That is tomorrow. Sunday prayer group. Something new I'm starting, 10 a.m. Meet in Grant Hall. We kind of sit around the fireplace and pray for this community. So if you'd like to join, there's no commitment. You can show up on a Sunday or every Sunday. It'll be there 10 a.m. I see Katrina in the audience or in the congregation. United Women in Faith is starting back up in February. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please email and let them know. We have the Holy Land trip that is something new that will be happening next year, and I am putting that together, so contact me if you're interested at all. We have the website is all set up, so you get a lot of information there as well. Planning that for next January in 2024, so please join us if you're able. Real quick, if you notice, there's some blessing bags on the altar today. This next week here in LA is the homeless count. Hopefully you've signed up already for it. If not, it is on our website. You do have to sign up with the city to be a part of it. But we're hosting at Harmony as well as joining the one here in Hollywood. So we're also collecting for next week, so if you can, for next Sunday, bring any warm items, blankets, sleeping bags, jackets. It's very cold out there, and there's a lot of people that could utilize some warmth. So we're collecting those for next Sunday for Hollywood Forward. Okay. All that we do here is made possible by you, with your prayers, your presence, your service, and your financial gifts. So as the ushers come forward, please give as generously as you're able. We also have the electronic code there so we can continue to do the ministry here in the heart of Hollywood. Thank you. Thank you.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across from the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father, and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. May God bless this reading to our hearing and understanding. Thanks be to God.
We continue our Epiphany sermon series this morning, Hope for the Living of These Days. As we are now entering the fourth year of this pandemic, in a not quite post-pandemic world, we're considering where we find hope. What is it that we hold on to when we're worried about our health or our families or our jobs? What can we count on in these days of uncertainty and anxiety and fear? So we're spending these weeks seeking hope for the living of these days. We began with water. In Matthew's gospel of Jesus being baptized by his cousin John in the River Jordan as an act of solidarity and community with us all, letting us know how much God loves us. Last week, we turned to the prophet Isaiah, where the writer, incarnating a Job-like persona, wonders about the presence of God in a particular situation and affirms that those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This morning, we're focusing on the call of the disciples by Jesus. This is one of my favorite passages in the Gospels, although Matthew's version is different from that of Mark and that of Luke. It was through Luke's version that I heard my own call to follow Christ in college, even though I had been raised a Methodist and was a true Wesleyan. Story that I've told before, but it's been a while. The summer before my senior year, I went to small group training with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship on Catalina Island. Now, not where Avalon is, we're talking the other side of the island where it's not developed. We slept in cabins with no electricity. There was no hot water. Our college chaplain had brought a group of new small group leaders for training, even though I was specific with him that one, I was a Methodist, two, I was a liberal, and three, my small group was going to focus on mainline folks who were increasingly disaffected by the growing evangelical movement on campus. And of course, I'm at the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship training. Well, bless his heart, he told me he loved me anyway. And he was one of two pastors in my life who really did, for me, model what being a true disciple of Christ was about. Now, there's not a lot I remember from that week more than a few decades ago, other than no electricity and no hot water. But one thing I won't forget, it was there on that beach with the waves lapping over our feet one afternoon that our Occidental College group, that we heard, that we read the call of the disciples from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, both in its literary capacity as a three-act drama and from a theological perspective on how, when Jesus calls us to follow him, we have no choice but to set everything aside and go for it. And in the process of that hour-long study, I realized that there was not an unringing of the bell. There was not an ability to look back. God was calling me, and I didn't like it one bit. It would take for me a few years to discover that my calling was that of a vocation, a discovery I fought long and hard because, you know, God, you made me to be a lawyer. I know you did. Yeah, well, God had other things in mind. God had other things in mind for Peter and Andrew, James and John as well, that day when they first met Jesus. But Matthew doesn't begin his version of Follow the Leader with Jesus talking with them. Instead, Matthew offers us his own version of a three-act drama with distinct but related foci for each. In Matthew, this story is placed after Jesus has been baptized by John and then went off and spent 40 days in the wilderness with the tempter. Jesus has learned now that his cousin John has been arrested by Herod Antipas, presumably because John was critical of Herod's, policies, lifestyle, let's just say everything. And likely Jesus saw this as a harbinger of his future, so he feels the urgency to ramp up his ministry to build the kingdom of God on earth. Matthew tells us that Jesus moved to Capernaum, a city on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, a small fishing village. This region had traditionally belonged to the Jewish tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, but in the first century was truly, as Matthew describes it, a Galilee of the Gentiles, conquered by Rome and ruled by a Roman puppet, whom few Jews regarded as authentically Jewish. Herod Antipas was notorious for his brutality and for his intolerance of anyone who threatened his claim to power. It was into this context of danger and darkness and death that Jesus quotes the 9th chapter of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. These words were written when these same lands were under dominion of the Assyrian Empire. Isaiah's prophecy had been for a king to emerge to restore Israel and Judah and bring deliverance and light and life to God's people. So to fulfill that prophecy, Jesus took on where John had left off, preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Literally, for Jesus had come to build the kingdom of God on earth. So that's Act 1. Act 2 is the story of the call that we know so well. Jesus walks up to Peter and Andrew first, saying, "Come and I will make you fishers of people." And they left their nets immediately and followed him. Same thing with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who walked away instantly to follow Jesus. Think about it. Jesus came to Peter and Andrew, James and John in their place of work. He challenged their very vocation, asking that they give up everything, risk everything and everyone to follow him and join him in sharing God's message of love and grace and hope with all of God's children. Now, this is a radical move on their part. Why did they do it? Why would they leave everything to follow this guy? It appears that their response is simply and exclusively based on the power of Jesus' personality and message. Everything about him radiated the fullness of God and God's love for all. The call of Jesus is so strong in their lives that all of the encumbrances of their old lives they're just over. The boats, the nets, the families, their old way of life and old ways of doing things are abandoned. Immediately, they make this radical move to become disciples of Jesus. And in the process, they found hope. No longer were they fishermen obligated financially to Rome. Jillian Engelhardt wrote this week that by choosing Jesus, the brothers choose to fish their land and people in it for God's purposes, rather than exploiting it for Rome's gain. They chose to join Jesus' ministry in the promised land rather than to align themselves with the interests of the occupiers. Rome wanted the men to catch fish to advance their dominion. Jesus wants them to catch people for God's rule, which, as Jesus will demonstrate throughout the rest of the gospel, is a rule of mercy and justice and plenty. Jesus calls his disciples and calls us today to find hope in the call, in a new way of life in the reign of God. At its most basic form, discipleship means following our leader, Jesus, and trusting wherever Christ takes us. Amy Grant is a recent Kennedy Center honoree. She's long understood what it means to follow Christ. Over 30 years ago, when she became a crossover artist, she was derided by Christians for leaving her safe Christian enclave and entering into the secular music world. At one of her concerts, she confessed the pain she was feeling from her detractors. And she told the audience, "Some people think I should stand in the light and give my witness. But I believe that God has called me to stand in the dark and there give off my light." Now, I wouldn't classify all secular music as the dark side. I mean, there is Springsteen, of course, right? Next month, baby, next month. But, oh, I'm not kidding, I'm going. So, but her point is well taken. We can stay in our comfort zones and we can do what we do, or we can risk out in faith, following our leader, the Christ, and find new hope for our own lives. And in the process, bless others as well. An ally, Grant, has been under further derision of late for hosting her niece's wedding to her wife on the family farm. In 2013, she was quoted as saying, "I know that the religious community has not been very welcoming to LGBTQ people." And by religious community, she means the evangelical community, the white evangelical community. "But I want to stress that the journey of faith brings us into community. But it's really about one relationship. The journey of faith is just being willing and open to have a relationship with God. And everybody is welcome. Everybody." Amy Grant is an example of a follower of Christ, not just a fan of Christ. And there's a measurable difference. A fan shows up when it's convenient and when one needs filling up. A follower is one who is willing to set aside one's best laid plans in order to fulfill God's call on his or her or their life. But in these days, we may have lost the difference. The great Barbara Brown Taylor once wrote, "What we may have lost along the way of our overscheduled, overworked lives is a full sense of the power of God to recruit people who have made terrible choices, to invade the most hapless lives and fill them with light, to sneak up on people who are thinking about lunch, not God, and smack them upside the head with glory. Whether we're ready or not, God acts. And she suggests that like the disciples who turned in a new direction, who walked away from fishing and walked toward Jesus, we also turn our lives in the same direction as God's life. And that means perhaps doing the same things, but doing them in a new way or doing them for new reasons. What's important is that our will spills into the will of God. And the third act of this story tells us how our will might spill into the will of God and offer hope. Matthew writes that Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. See, Jesus didn't gather disciples just to go hide out somewhere and to remain static. They got in the car and they went everywhere, to unexpected places and to unwelcome people, to tell them that the kingdom of God is near and to ease their lives however possible. And that is our call today too, to share with others the good news of the God who loves us unconditionally. As a staff, we've been contemplating designating a few Sundays a year as Bring a Friend to Church Day, one where there's especially good food and fellowship, but Dan Cox has good food for us every Sunday. But the first one of these will be Soul Food Sunday, which is the last Sunday in February, February 26th, so mark that down on your calendar. But, you know, you don't have to wait till February. You can invite a friend any Sunday. Now, maybe they wouldn't be comfortable starting in worship, but they'd rather start with a service project like Food on Foot or Project Angel Food or when we build blessing bags like the ones that we have here on the altar. Perhaps they're not ready to walk into a church or even a service organization, but they might go to someone's home for an hour-long small group twice a month. You see, there's so many things that we can do and ways that we can be that witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ. Maybe they'd be willing to write a letter or an email against gun violence because the continual tragedies that occur in this country that just occurred last night, it's got to stop. And we need to be the ones to help bring that forward. We need to do all of these things and more so that we can offer hope to others and in turn give ourselves hope as well. Debbie Thomas wrote that we are not called to cajole, manipulate, trap, bully, or even persuade others to accept Jesus or join our religion. It's God alone who captures the imagination. It's God alone who makes the vision of God's kingdom come alive in a human soul. All we can do is embody the vision in the particulars of our lives, reflecting into water the profound beauty of who Christ is. And the rest, that's up to God. Jesus says, "I have called you because I love you. Help me to build the beloved community on earth." And our response, "Lead me, guide me, O Lord, along the way, so that we might truly have hope for the living of these days." Amen.
Lead me, guide me, along the way. We've done this psalm before. It's been a while. So the choir will do it once through, and then we'll have you join in as well. Thank you. Join in with us.
Are we to have John West? I'm sorry. And this amazing choir. Thank you so much. For they truly do lead us and guide us. So let us go forth this day knowing that God has called each of us to some purpose. And if you don't know what it is, Devin, Bridie, and I will be glad to sit down with you and talk about what that might be in your life. But go forth this day knowing that God loves you and ready to serve the world. Amen.